that the peace of God. Did you catch that, Jim? Okay. Last week we looked at the peace of God, and we looked at several different things, or we talked about several different things, or I posed some questions, which you didn't have to answer, but it was, you know, do you have the peace of God in your life? And if you don't, you should. And the second one was what you have, what we're going to look at today is, all right, do you have fear? And if you do, how come? And what can you do about it? Some of the other things I asked about were, are you living God's prosperity? Do you have a prosperous life? And that means more than just having money or things. It means a lot more than that. Do you have harmony in your life? You know, do you get along with people? Is things good in your home? And if not, it should be, because, you know, if you're walking in the love of God, you know, we do our best to bless people and love people. And there was a couple of others there, but maybe we'll get to them. But today we're going to look at fear. And I want you to go to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. And I looked in the dictionary to see what it said about fear. And it said, it is the painful emotion caused by the sense of impending danger or evil, a state of alarm or dread. I thought that's pretty good, because it said a sense of impending danger or evil. Because that's really what it is, isn't it? It's a sense. It comes by way of the senses. You know, we think that something's going to happen because we perceive things with our eyes or our ears, or, you know, we hear information and we process it in our brain. But it all comes from the senses. Somewhere along the line, somehow, a seed was planted there that made you apprehensive or dreadful or fearful about something. We used to call it false information appearing real, which is a pretty good description. Now, that's not to say you're not to be concerned about things or time at times. That's not to say that you shouldn't have respect for certain things. Like, you don't have to be afraid of guns, but you should have respect for guns. You know, you should treat them carefully the way they're supposed to be treated. You don't have to have a fear about driving a car, but you should certainly drive in a safe manner, not crazy, right? And life is full of those things. But even more, we don't have to be afraid of, we don't have to be afraid of famine. We don't have to be afraid of, you know, the normal things in life that people are afraid of. We can look to God. And, well, let's read Psalm 34. We'll start in verse 4. It says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from most of my fears. No, all of my fears. And the word sought means inquired. I inquired of the Lord, or I asked the Lord, you know, what we can do about fears. Do you want a Bible? Okay. There you go. Dave doesn't want to read his. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. And, you know, we know that God hears us when we call to him. He promises us that he hears us. It says his ears are always open to the prayers of the righteous, which is a figure of speech, because God doesn't really have ears. He's not a person, but he always hears our prayers. He's attentive to what we're saying to him. And it says he delivered me from all my fears. So, you know, the first thing is, the first answer and the best answer to fear is God. That's the number one antidote. That's the serum for fearitis. That's the vaccine. God. God is the answer to fear. God hears our prayers and he will deliver us from all our fears. That's pretty simple, isn't it? We could just close the Bible right here. But I worked hard on this teaching, so you're going to hear it all. Verse 5, they looked unto him. They looked, the people looked unto God and were lightened, or they were made radiant. You know, their face brightened. You ever see somebody that's sad or fearful? You know, their face is not bright, is it? It's you know, you can tell a lot of times when people have problems just by looking at their face. Their faces were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Now, this is a Psalm of David, and if you read the life of David, certainly God delivered him lots of times out of troubles. The biggest trouble he had early on was that Saul hunted him down or was hunting for him and wanted to kill him. And it lasted quite a while. So it says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth about them that fear him. And that's the good fear. That's respect for God. You know, being in awe of God, having great respect for God. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that have great awe and respect for God, and delivereth them. You know, the angel of the Lord encampeth around. You know, he surrounds us with protection. God promises us that he'll give us protection if we have respect for him. It's pretty great. Verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Or happy is the man, you know, man and woman, person, that trusts in God. And you know, we throw that word around a lot and we talk about trusting God. Trust is not something that just happens, is it? Trust is something that is developed, that's built in your life. When you learn a new skill, you build trust in that skill by doing it, don't you? You do it over and over and over until you get rid of your trepidations, your tentativeness. And after a while, you build that trust, and then you go full steam ahead. And the same thing is true with God, that you build a trust for God. You build it, and then you have to maintain it. You know, you keep looking to God, you keep doing what he says, you keep praying to him, you keep that relationship with him, and you build that trust. You see that you can rely on him and that he will do what he says he will do. It just doesn't happen. And if you don't work at it, you know, and all of a sudden then you're confronted with a crisis, you say, well, I'm going to believe God, I'm going to trust God. It doesn't always work that way because you haven't built it in your life. You know, sometimes it does. Sometimes we can switch it on. But it's better to build it and keep it there in your life. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 35. Seems like whatever you look at in the Word of God, there's something about it in Isaiah. Mostly because Isaiah said a lot of stuff. I think somebody said once that Jesus Christ quoted Isaiah more than any other book, and there may be more prophecies, certainly some very significant prophecies concerning Jesus Christ, very specific. But in chapter 35, verse 3, it says, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees, meaning, you know, build up the feeble knees, support them. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Isn't that a great verse? You know, God will come and save you. So I say to you, be strong, fear not. You know, God says that a lot in His Word. Fear not. He sends angels and they say, fear not. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 15, it says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, or sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You know, God didn't send us fear, did He? Our lives are not to be lived in fear. You know, from the very early parts of Genesis on, you know, God has always made promises to people that He would help them, deliver them, that He wanted the best for man. He wants the best for His people that look to Him. And so we don't have to have fear. And He has given us Holy Spirit, the spirit of sonship, where we can cry, Abba, Father. We can go to Him as our Father. And then it says in verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. The Spirit in manifestation bears witness with our spirit. It's a witness to us. It's proof to us. It is a witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we're the children of God, then He's our Father and we can go to Him in any situation. What does a father do for his children? He takes care of them, protects them, watches over them, feeds them, clothes them, gives them a place to live, you know, loves them, nurtures them, teaches them. That's what a father is to do. And that's what God does for us. So we don't have to have fear. God is... given us that witness, that assurance that we don't have to have fear. Let's go to Exodus chapter 14. It's always great to see examples of people that are confronted with things and they get fearful and how God helps them. And this is one that you've probably all read many times, but it's where Moses is leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they're at the Red Sea, and the Egyptians are chasing them. Exodus 14. Did I not say the chapter? I did? Okay, pay attention. Okay, here we go. Verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-hahiroth, between Migdal and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh shall say, will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. So God's telling Moses ahead of time that the Egyptians are going to come after them. So He's preparing Moses. And it was told of the king of Egypt that the people fled in the heart of Pharaoh, and of servants turned against the people. And they said, we have done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us. They said, what are we, nuts? We had all these guys, free labor. They were underneath our thumb. We had them to do whatever we wanted them to do, and we let them go. And not only did we let them go, but what do? We gave them our gold and our jewels and everything else. What do? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and the captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pi Hahiroth before Baal Zephon. I don't want to have to say that again. P and B, if it comes up again. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. So Israel was what?
Freaked out.
Yeah, they got fear, didn't they? They were afraid. They turned around, they were camped, and they saw this mighty army, which at this time was the greatest army in the world. And chariots were a big deal in war in those days. And so Pharaoh was chasing them, and Israel didn't have an army, did they? They were had been slaves. So are they trained to fight? No. They're just farmers and herders, and at this point they're just got their families, their children, their wives, their animals. So they're not really prepared to fight. So they're fearful. Verse 11. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? So they're tempting God. You know, they're doubting God. Moses said to them previously, you know, God sent me to bring you out. He showed them all the signs, all the miracles. He sent the plagues on Egypt, protected Israel. They had the Passover. They came out of Egypt with the gold and the jewels. And now they get out there and they said, you just brought us out here to die in the wilderness. It's not... Did you ever see the Geico commercial about the kids? They're in a horror movie. And there's these four people there and something horrible is chasing them. And the girl says, a car, and it's running. We can take that and escape. And they said, that doesn't make sense. And they go hide behind the chainsaws.
Yeah.
You know. And then Geico says, people in horror movies never make sense. That's Israel, right? They're in a horror movie and they never make sense. They never think logically. God has delivered them over and over and over. He's done all these things. They get to the Red Sea and they go, you just brought us out here to die. You know, let's go hide behind the chainsaws. That's what they're saying. Pretty crazy. Verse 12, is not this word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? You know, people are crazy. People are nuts. And people love bondage. You know, it said in, we just read in Romans that we are no longer have the spirit of bondage to fear. But people love bondage. You know, people love to be safe. But safe, a lot of times, is bondage. A lot of times, what seems to be the safe way and the good way is really a bondage way. You know, well, I'd really love to go on vacation, but I'm afraid to make the trip. Something may happen. So you never get to go on a vacation. You know, that's not a good way to live. People do this all the time. They restrict their lives because they're afraid of things. They said, leave us alone. Didn't we tell you to leave us alone? We were happy being slaves. Imagine that. Happy being slaves. You ever hear about the convict that gets out of prison and he commits another crime so he can go back? Because it's a safe place and, you know, he gets three meals a day, he gets clothed, has a bed. There are people that do that. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. Well, you're going to die somewhere. You know, would you rather die free or in bondage? And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. You know, that's God's message. Fear ye not. Don't be afraid. You know, if you're really going to live, you got to get rid of fear. If you're really going to walk with God, you got to look to God. God is the antidote of fear. He's the one that keeps fear out of our lives, but we have to look to Him. Fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians who ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. You know what? God will fight for us. God does fight for us. You just have to let Him. You know, if you're too fearful to face the situation, well, then He can't fight for you, can He? If you're too afraid to step out on what God says, you'll never see the deliverance of God. You know, it's like if you never abundantly share, you'll never see the prosperity of God that He promises. You know, it's that simple. If you never go to Him in prayer and ask Him for something, you'll never get an answer. Verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon the chariots, upon his horsemen. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, upon his horsemen. Wow. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all night. Now that's pretty cool. God sends His angel. The angel becomes like a cloud. It's darkness to the Egyptians, so they can't see where they're going, but it's a light to Israel, so they can. Wow, that's a cool thing. If you could invent that, imagine. Pretty crazy. So that the Egyptians could never come near to the Israelites. Amazing. Verse 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on the left. Did you ever walk through like an aquarium, you know, and you have the glass and the waters all around you? It's kind of a weird feeling, isn't it? You know, well, imagine walking through the Red Sea and there's no glass. The water is just a wall. That's just, sense knowledge-wise, screwy, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It would be like, I'm just looking straight ahead and I'm going to go as fast as I can. Verse 23, and the Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, even all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, his horsemen. And it came to pass in the morning, watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them so heavily, so that from the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand over the sea, and the waters may come up upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came unto the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on the left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which God the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Until the next day. Because the next thing you read about is they freak out again. But, you know, what was the answer to their fear? It was to look to God, right? Listen to God, obey. You know, again, sense knowledge-wise, to walk in the midst of that water was kind of a crazy thing. But, you know, they did what God told them because they saw God divide the waters. And God had helped them so many times. And there's so many other records, you know, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. They said, we're going to stand for God. We don't care. They got thrown into the fiery furnace and they came out and they didn't even smell of smoke. You could put that on QVC and make a lot of money. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 7, it says, Second Timothy. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And this is a figure of speech because it implies he didn't give us the spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of power and a spirit of love and the spirit of a sound mind. And it's and. So the emphasis that God has given us those three things. He didn't give us the spirit of fear, but in contrast, power, which is dunamis. It's the inherent power that he puts inside of us when we receive Holy Spirit. Love, which is agape, God's love, perfect love, the ability to love like he loved us, and a sound mind, which means sober thoughts or whole thoughts. Whole thoughts are believing what God says and not being fearful, aren't they? You know, if we have fear about something, we don't have whole thoughts, because God says, fear not. He said he hasn't given us the spirit of fear. Verse 8, it says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You know, God gave us all by way of his Son, Jesus Christ. When we understand what Jesus Christ did for us, we don't have to have fear, because he paid the price for everything. You know, it says in Peter that by his stripes we were healed. He took upon him all the pain and all the everything. We got forgiven for all our sins and our sin nature. He made the perfect sacrifice that fulfilled all the law. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love. There's no fear in love. That's a pretty straightforward statement. There's no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. And that's true, isn't it? Fear hath torment. When you have fear about things, it torments you. It restricts you. It puts you in bondage. It holds you back. And it wears on your brain, doesn't it? Continuously. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Again, it's pretty simple, pretty straightforward. It says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know, God's perfect. Therefore, his love is what?
Perfect.
He shows his love towards us. So when we accept and receive his love, when we look to him, we get rid of fear. Let's go back to verse 16. It says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Wow. Herein is our love made perfect, that we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. God loves us. There's no fear in God. You know, not the bad fear, good fear. We respect God. We look to God. We have great awe for God. And then it says that the angel of the Lord encampeth about us and delivers us from all our troubles. That's what he says. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Says some other great stuff about love here. Chapter 8, verse 28. It says, and we know. We're supposed to know. We should know. And if you read the Bible and put it in your brain, you do know. And we know that all things, how many things?
All things.
All things. It's great how God uses all. Not to wash his clothes, but to communicate to us. You know, it's, you know, sometimes it's inclusive and sometimes it's exclusive. In this case, it's inclusive. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Wow. Well, fear's not good, is it? So if you're loving God, fear is going to be out. Because all things are work to good. So no matter what situation you're in, no matter what circumstances, is all things are what? All things. All things include when you get a raise? Sure. All things include when you make a new friend? Yeah. All things include when you get sick. Yeah. All things include when something breaks. Yeah. All things, good or bad, all things work together for good to them that love God. If you're faced with a tough situation, all things work together to good to them that love God. If you're faced with something really bad, all things work to good to them that love God. And if you're faced with something pleasant or wonderful, still, all things work to the good for them that love God. It's the way it works. Pretty cool. God figured it all out. He figures things out so it works no matter what. You can't screw it up with God. Verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Go back and read the context. But we're more than conquerors through all these things. You know, you're either more of a conqueror or you're not more than a conqueror. If you have fear about something and you're more than a conqueror, what does that mean? You get rid of the fear. You overcome the fear. That's what it means. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What gets rid of fear? Love. Perfect love casts out fear. Can anything separate us from God's love? No. So we can always be separated from fear. We can always overcome fear. We can always get rid of fear in our lives because God loves us and nothing can separate us from the love of God. That's the antidote to fear. That's how you vaccinate yourself from fearitis. You know, that's a terrible virus. You don't want it. So inject yourself with God, God's love. Love God with everything you have. Ephesians 3. We'll close in Ephesians 3. We're just going to read the prayer in Ephesians 3 because it's such a great and wonderful prayer, because it's God's desire for each and every one of his believers, each and every one of his children. Verse 14 says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Lord Jesus Christ really isn't in the text. If you want to leave it in there, it's okay. Won't hurt you. "Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he, God, would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." You are to be strengthened with his might by his Spirit in the inner man. If you're born again, you have his Spirit, right? So you have a resource to be strengthened with. It's our witness that we are his children. And if it's his witness that we are his children, it's also our witness that nothing can separate us from his love, and that all things work to the good to them that love God. Verse 17, "That Christ might dwell in your hearts by believing, that ye being rooted and grounded in love." Wow, well, if you're rooted and grounded in love, you shouldn't have a problem with fear, should you? And if you're having a problem with fear, that means you need to get rooted and grounded in love. And the way you get rooted and grounded in love is to look at the Word and see what God's done for you and start praying and let him teach you and get moving ahead with God and walking out on the promises of God and doing the things of God. So, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. That's God's desire, that Christ may dwell in your hearts, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. He wants you to be rooted and grounded in love, because he certainly doesn't want you to have fear. He doesn't want you to have doubt. He doesn't want you to worry. He wants you to be blessed. "That ye may be able to comprehend." Comprehend means to take in and understand, right? "With all saints, what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." He wants you to be filled up with all his fullness. Filled. And if God is love and you're filled with all the fullness of God, what are you going to be filled with? Love. And if you have love, then there shouldn't be any room for any fear, because you're filled. That's God's desire for you. "Now unto him that is able to do," God is able to do, "exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." That's God's love, and that's God's promise, and that's God's prayer for us. What a great prayer. That's his desire for each and every one of us. That's his heart for each and every one of us. So we don't have any reason to be afraid or fearful in life. You know, we have an antidote. We have a vaccination, a serum to get rid of fear, and that's the love of God. So we just need to put it down in our lives. God wants us to be filled with all his fullness. And because God is love, if we're filled with the fullness of God, we got to be filled with love. So God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word and how beautiful and how it fits together. We thank you so much for what a great and mighty God you are. And we thank you for just doing your best for us in every way. And we thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.